Hi, this is Seneca Chartrand. We're in the Beausejour, Manitoba at the Two Spirit Gathering. It's August 5th, 2018. I'm with, you want to introduce yourself?
Ryan Buffalo.
Okay. Is this your first time at the gathering?
First, no, it's not my first time at a gathering. This is my, I think it's my third international gathering or fourth international gathering. And then I go to the Montana Two Spirit Gathering every year, about every year. I'll try to.
What are your experiences like at the gatherings?
My experiences at the gatherings are very, very like comforting. It's really nice to be around other two-spirited people in a healthy spiritual environment. It's really rejuvenating because we can be ourselves and not have to fit into general societal norms. So it's more of like, come here to rejuvenate myself from everyday, just everyday life that sometimes isn't accepting of two-spirit culture.
Where did you go for your first gathering?
My first gathering was in, it was in BC. I think it was Gambie Island or some. It was one of the islands just off Vancouver.
What was that like?
That was a really great experience. I was kind of overwhelmed because I've never been around that many two-spirited people before. I identified as two-spirited before that, but I didn't know what that meant. So for my first time being around people who self-identified as two-spirit, it was really refreshing, and it was actually really, it was a lot, they gave a lot of knowledge and stuff that I knew but just needed to be confirmed.
Where are you from?
I am from Muscogee's First Nation in central Alberta.
Can you tell me about your community?
My community is, it's a little, has its, well, it's Muscogee's, so it's very, it has its problems due, like every other reserve that happened with colonialism and, suppression of our culture and our people. So there's a lot of, like, suffrage, there's a lot of addictions, there's a lot of violence, but there's also a lot of good things. There's a lot of culture and tradition. I was raised with a very cultural family. My Muslim was very ceremonial. So I didn't really have the influence of the church. It was more influence of how our grandpa, our Muslim wanted us to be raised. So, there wasn't really, too many, like, problems with addiction, in my family, well, direct family. So, yeah.
Was he the one who raised you?
No, my parents were really young. Like, they were 18. When I was young, I thought they were older. But, 18, now that I think of it, 18 is super young. So it was, kind of like a family group raising. Like, for the most part, my mom raised us. My parents split up, from when I was, for about 5 years when I was younger. So I went from like my aunties and uncles to my mom's to my dad's, just depending on like, it was just more, not like, it was just more of convenience who was able to watch kids at the time and who was well, one of the other parents worked, or if my dad had to go somewhere, or if my mom had to go somewhere, there was that understanding that they needed to watch the kids first. So, but I did spend a lot of time with my Muslim almost every weekend. So all my cousins, we were all raised that way too. So we were all raised together in a big family unit.
How was it growing up as a two-spirit person?
Growing up as a two-spirited person, that was it was a blessing and a struggle at the same time. I'm really grateful because my parents were really weren't really rigid with how they expected their young son to act. So I got to run around in these big, pretty dresses that my little sister, my older sister, who's a year older than me, had. But it was me running around and spinning around in them and getting them all dirty. Well, she played with my my boy toys, and I played with her dresses and Barbies. So it was good. And then as I got older, the expectation of being a man kind of was there. But I think my parents always knew that I was two-spirited, so I never really had to come out to them, because there's always those signs as you grow up that your kid is two-spirited, right? So I was always very, like, I don't want to say I was just very fluid in how I appeared. I was this young boy, but I looked very feminine, but I was not trying to portray this femininity. It was just who I was. So it was a balance between both, and it made people feel uncomfortable, but it was who I was. So the struggle there was trying to accept myself for who I was and not really care what other people thought. So, yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about your journey as a two-spirit person?
My journey as a two-spirited person, well, I didn't really, I always knew I liked, I always knew I was gay. I remember I had a crush on G.I. Joe, and I had a crush on Ariel's prince from the cartoon. I always like to help my mom with cooking and cleaning, but I always liked to help my Muslim, like, cut wood and stuff. So it was good in the aspect, like, I was unknowingly filling both of these roles of, like, the female side and the male side, and not being judged for it because I was so young. But it was more of convenience because they needed help with these things and I was willing to do it. And even as I got older, I would help sew things and cut wood or hunt with my parents. So it was more of a convenience aspect than actually identifying as two-spirited, but even though that was my role. And as I grew up, I identified as gay I still do identify as gay, two-spirited, but I didn't really fully understand it until, I always knew the term was there, but I didn't know what the term meant or any of the teachings behind it until I was about 26. And then at that point, so always yearning for the information and the knowledge of what two-spirited people do and how they were and how their roles were in society. And I didn't really fully get that full grasp of that until I went to the Two-Spirited Gathering in Vancouver, the international one there. And I got to meet all these people with their different stories and their different teachings on two-spirited people. And then that's where I met some Cree people that I'm friends with now that told me about Cree people from my era that told me about the two-spirited teachings in our nation, our Cree nation, where we're from. So, and from there, I've just been slowly learning about our roles, our expectations, and even learning beyond that about, like, just how our society as Aboriginal people worked and how we fit into society and how they're kind of all intertwined. You can't have one piece of the puzzle and expect to have a full picture. So it's always grabbing those pieces and trying to put things together. So yeah, it's been a really good learning experience.
Where do you feel most safe?
That's a really, I guess the place I feel really most safe is, because I'm the older brother in my family, and I'm like the older male figure now, right? So it's not like, it's more for me in that aspect that where do I feel that my family would be safe? Like, where would I feel comfortable with my younger siblings? Where do I feel comfortable with them? Where do I feel safe? Where do I feel they would feel safe? But I guess for me, my always safe place is in the mountains. That's where I feel home. That's where the connection is. I think that's because that's what I was told, that's where all our stories are at. So, and I do feel like I come to these gatherings for two-spirited people, and that is such a comfort. It's like someone just wrapped a blanket on you, and you're allowed to hear that it's okay, you are who you are. And it's a really good feeling to be around this place, and it's a really secure, comforting feeling. And so when I'm done here, I can go out for another year and do what I need to do and come back and get that secure, safe feeling again.
Is there anything that I haven't asked or that you haven't mentioned that you maybe want to talk about?
No, not really.
Okay. Thank you.